Welcome to the Dallas Soccer Show. I'm Dustin Nation. And this week we're going to take a bit of a deviation from our regular FC Dallas content. We're going to take a quick look into the world of arena soccer with the Dallas Sidekicks. They've got a big match this Sunday with U.S. soccer legend Landon Donovan coming into town. So we thought we'd help fuel that hype train. Plus, stick around to the end of the show and I'll tell you how you can get your hands on some free tickets to the game on Sunday, as well as some autographed player photos. So yeah, earlier in the year, I covered a Sidekicks match. And when I was learning about the team, I found that the squad has a ton of interesting stories and a ton of interesting personalities. But I was really struck by one in particular, and that was Jamie Lovegrove. He is British, but he finds himself in Texas playing for both the Sidekicks and the Fort Worth Vaqueros. And he even scored the 2018 NPSL Goal of the Year. I wanted to learn more about him and help you all learn more about another really fun team we have right here in our backyard. And so I sat down with Jamie and we talked about growing up in England, the differences in youth systems between America and England, his decision to move here to the US for college, his life or life in general in the MASL, that's Major Arena Soccer League, and much more. And again, don't forget to stick around to the end because I've got four tickets to the Sidekicks game on Sunday, plus some autographed Sidekicks player photos to give away, and I'm going to tell you how.
You're listening to the Dallas Soccer Show with Dustin Nation and Tristan Vick.
Hey, Jamie, thanks for joining me today.
How's it going? How are you?
Pretty good. I lost my voice, but things happen. How's things going with you?
Yeah, doing very well. We had a rough weekend this weekend as far as the team goes, but you know, we got four games left that we have to bounce back on and continue to move forward. So yeah, it's been tough, but you know, we get forward a new week Tuesday. So can't complain.
Yeah, yeah. And every day is a new day.
Absolutely.
So I wanted to kind of get your story and let other people know more about you and therefore know a little bit more about the Sidekicks. So Let's start with start at the beginning. So you were born.
Yes, I was born. Yes. I was born in England, Crawley, small town outside of London, close to the Gatwick Airport.
It's like halfway between London and Brighton, right?
Almost, yeah. Basically right there. Yeah. Lovely little hometown in England. Started playing when, as far as I can remember back, my dad was actually my coach to start off with, so that was kind of tough to get into because obviously he's going to be super tough on me and easy on everybody else. But
sure,
I've enjoyed playing football my whole life. There's not been one day that I've not enjoyed it. There's one day that I don't think if I could change my sport, it would be a different one. So I'm very happy with my upbringing and being around football. My dad played a little bit. My older brother played a little bit too. So I think even my sisters played a little bit at times, but you know, they obviously stopped because they weren't as good as the two brothers. So.
That's just kind of like what you guys do over there in England, right? It's like you just play football.
Yeah, it's all we do. There's it's now starting to come up where rugby's starting to be a big thing back home too. But it's mainly football. Everyone sort of eats, breathes, and lives football. So,
talk a little bit about the youth system over there. Like, what is it? You've been over in the States for a little while, and you're involved with the youth system here, I think, right?
Yes, sir.
Are there any differences in the youth systems between what you grew up in and what we have here?
Well, I think the difference in the youth systems back home compared to here is there's so many teams in and around the area because, like I said earlier, it's one of our major sports. The biggest difference for an outsider looking in is the financial. Back home, it almost costs next to nothing to be part of a youth team. To be even part of the youth academies is next to nothing too. So that's a big comparison to some of the teams in the local area that charge an X amount of money for their kids to be part of a youth system. In England, there's the youth academies of the professional organizations. They just literally have one team per age group. So it's kind of, you get picked up by those teams. You don't have to pay to play on those teams. But, you know, like I said, there's so many teams and it's funded by the FA too. Also, they help out massively on the grassroots level, what we call it back home. You know, like I say, it's just every kid in England almost wants to be a football player. So it's very tough to be on a team. And obviously, as I say, if every kid wants to be a football player, then there's going to be thousands and thousands of team in local areas, which is massive for us. Every street you go down, there's a football field. So, but yeah, no, youth system back home is a little bit different than it is here. And as I say, the biggest one is financially.
Sure. All right. So you turn 16 and you go pro.
Yes, sir.
With Crawley Town, right?
Yes, sir.
What's the path to pros like there? Like they have people scouting you or just?
Yeah, so it can be different. The story that basically leads to that is me and my brother. My brother's a year older than me. My brother was in the youth academy all the way from 8 years old until he was like 18. He actually unfortunately didn't sign a professional contract. At times I thought he was always going to be the one because he was so dedicated from like going to bed at like 7 o'clock at night to being ready in the morning. And I was completely different growing up. I was in bed by 11. I had my shoes by the front door and he had his bags packed. He had everything ready to go. And so it led from him to be part of the academy. And I never really played youth academy football until I was like 14. And then I signed pro with Crawley. They actually saw me play for Brighton and Hove Albion, which was my youth team that I played for. And then from there, yeah, they had a scout come in, asked me if I wanted to play on the team. And at that point, I knew it was a little bit more serious than just to kick around with my pals. So I took the chance and yeah, it was a great experience.
And were you still in school at the time or?
Yes, I was still in school. So in England, when I left, it was 16 is when you finish school. So it's quite funny because a lot of kids were reading their grades about where they were going to go next. And they wanted to be a business person and they wanted to be a plumber. They wanted to be an electrician. And everyone was kind of asking me what my grades were. And I said at that point, it doesn't matter because tomorrow I'm signing pro. So looking back at it now, I probably should have had a different approach because obviously education is important. But I knew what I wanted to be and that was it. And I left school and then the next day I was in preseason with the team. So it was good memories and great experience.
So from there, you went to Doncaster, right?
Yes, sir.
And they were in the championship at the time.
Yes, sir.
Did you play with the first team?
I didn't play with the first team. No, I was there for about a month during preseason where it was kind of almost on trial, really. And I was training with the pros during preseason. And unfortunately, it didn't really work out for me that year. And then I ended up moving to a semi-pro organization. And then I got to the point where my brother actually, again, going back to my brother, he moved here a year before I did. And he played for Midwestern State.
Okay.
And he obviously had a very good college career and probably could have done something a little bit better other than that after if he wanted to. And then I had a conversation with him and he said, look, America's great. Why don't you come and try it? And I think the next year I flew out and tried to go to Midwestern State. This is where education comes about when my grades weren't actually good enough to get me into Midwestern State. And I ended up playing for Richland College, which is obviously right down the street from here. Played two great years there under, you know, very, very good organization as far as the college program goes. We went to national championship both years, lost in the final the first year, lost in the semifinal the second year. And, you know, it's just a very, very good career at home, but I knew it was time for a change and I'm glad I made that decision.
Yeah. I guess Richland College is kind of like a little gym here because, I mean, I was looking at the bios of the players on the team and have like at least three or four of them.
The boys from the team, Billy O'Dwyer, he played at Richland. Fernando Garza played at Richland. Segura played at Richland. And I think Andy played at Richland too. He was actually there when I was there. So I saw Andy at preseason and it brought back some memories of us being together at Richland too. So it was good times. Richland is a fantastic school. And they get you ready for the next NCAA college if you can get there. Mm-hmm. And they even get some of the boys ready for pros. And I know there's a few at FC Dallas now that have played at Richland too. So very, very good school.
Gotcha. So, all right. So you've moved to Texas. Was there a culture shock coming here? Or like, what were your thoughts about Texas?
Yeah, no, it was very, very strange because I got to a conversation with my roommate at the time and we was emailing each other backwards and forwards, never met him, never saw him face to face. And I actually flew into Florida with my family. We did a family vacation. We then drove from Florida up to Dallas and that was it. I got dropped off with my roommate and my family went one way and I went the other way. So there was a little bit of emotions. Sure. And it was tough to start off with, I'm not going to lie, but his family took me in and they were a great, great family. And again, massive thank you to them because I could have turned home and after a week. But they brought me in. My roommate was a very good guy, and he actually was at the game last game, and I managed to give him and his daughter a ball. So it was it brought back a little bit more of emotion there again for me. So, but yeah, it was a massive culture change, really. The heat was one of the biggest things that I couldn't get used to start off with. In England, it doesn't really get hot at all. And then it was 110 during preseason, and I was asking for water every 5 minutes, and the coach kept not giving it to me. And it was, it was very strange. But like I say, I'm glad I did made all the decisions that I made back then, because it's kind of led me to the point where I'm at now, which is great.
Yeah, the heat is something that, like, you hear a lot about. People come from Europe and play in MLS, and they're like, oh, it'll be easy. Yeah. And then they get the heat, and they just
The heat's dangerous. Yeah, no, it was... I think I turned out like a lobster after day one too, because I was just so burnt. But you know, it was good times.
Gotcha. All right. So after college, after Richland, did you want to go on to a 4-year school, or like how did you?
I tried to go back to Midwestern State. Okay. Obviously, because of the connection with my brother, and sure. Midwestern were the ones that actually informed me about Richland. So I felt like I owed it to them to go back there. And then the good old NCAA turned around and said, your eligibility is done, because obviously I played 3 years professional in England and then the 2 years at junior college. So there goed my eligibility, and I was kind of stuck in school for 6 months. So, but no, I don't regret anything that I've done, as I say, personally. Yeah. But I would have loved to have played for Midwestern, and I'd love to experience the college, the full college program. But I did preseason, and again, Doug Elder and Coach Meacham up there, they were great too. And obviously, when I found out that I couldn't play, it was a little bit sad, because I was going to play with my brother in a college team, which I don't think many people can say that they've done that before. So, but it's all good. You know, it was, it led me to then almost making the decision between the Psychics or going home. And a good friend of mine, Jim Foringer, informed me about the Psychics and introduced me to Tattoo. And back then it was... I didn't know who Tattoo was, and I never knew what indoor was. And he told me to go training. First training session, I ended up, I think my first touch was a goal. And then from there, I've never looked back with his organization. It's been only upwards from there.
Cool. One last question about your college. Like, wait, did you go thinking, like, knowing that you wanted to do professional soccer afterwards?
Yeah, that was the plan. In my mind, it was that I was going to go to Midwestern, hopefully have a good 2 years at the program there, because it's a very good program, and then try to get into the draft if I can. And I know it was a long shot, obviously, after I found out about the NCAA, but the dream was always still to try and make it into the MLS. But, you know, after a few years of seeing how it was going to progress and how people got into the draft, there was just a time where it wasn't going to happen for me. So,
sure.
But I had a couple of sessions with them last year and 2 years ago. So I've had the opportunity to be part of the FC Dallas program. It just never worked out. So it's all good.
Gotcha. Okay. So heading back to the Sidekicks, right? So it's indoor soccer. Do they have that in England?
We don't. We have a thing that we call five-a-side, which is small-sided games, but obviously it's outdoor. It's a little bit of a combination of indoor without the boards and then futsal. But there's no such thing as indoor in England. We don't stop. Rain, thunder, lightning, we keep going outdoor.
Okay, so how did, or what did you think about? Like, was there a transition, like,
yeah, it was a massive difference. I got into the training session that we had, and I think it was like 10 on 10. And I was looking around going, there's not a lot of space here to do anything or to do something. And then we got further and further into the session. It went down to 5v5. And I'm telling you, there was times where I didn't know where to be or what I should be doing. And it took some of the experienced guys on the team back then to kind of pull me aside and kind of give me an ear bashing about what I needed to be and what I needed to do. It was very different. And even to this point now, if I could choose a option between outdoor or indoor, I think I might swerve to the indoor just because of the way it's played and how enjoyable it can be at times.
Yeah, totally different. Like, I guess you still play outdoor, right? With
yes,
the
sir.
Vaqueros.
Yes, sir.
Sir. Yeah. I'm only 35, man.
No, pick that up for sure.
Appreciate it. Hey, that's what we do in Texas.
Exactly. That's the only thing I picked up. I'm never going to say the other word that you guys keep saying.
So let's talk about life in the MASL. Like, what's the schedule like? Walk me through a typical week in the MASL.
A typical week for us, depending on where we need to be at the weekend, if it's a back-to-back away game or if it's a home game, for example, if it's a back-to-back away game, we'll train probably three times that week, and that'll be Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. And then if the game's on Saturday, we've been lucky enough this year. We'll go to this last weekend. We played San Diego on the Friday, and then we played Rio Grande on the Sunday. We were lucky enough to where we flew out Friday morning to play San Diego. Sometimes we tried to get there the day before, and that happened in the Tacoma game. We had played them on a Sunday, I think it was, and I think we flew in on like a Friday. So that was a very, very good trip for us, because you get some downtime in the hotel room. You get to spend some time with the team too. But if it's a back-to-back away game, we usually fly out the morning of one game, get done with the game, and then turn around and then fly back out the next morning to play the next game, and then we'll be home the day after. But, you know, it's very tough to do that schedule because, obviously, you've got certain areas that we're at. So if it's El Paso, then the next closest one will be Rio Grande, or the next closest one will be Monterrey. So it's kind of, two games in 2 days is tough. The traveling is tough. But, you know, I think this is my sixth season now, so I'm kind of getting used to it, kind of where you have to try to recover yourself. And hotel room is massive. You know, can you do an ice bath? Can you do recovery in there and stuff like that? And then home games, we usually practice about four times leading up to the game. This week, I think we go tonight, tomorrow, and Thursday to play San Diego, obviously on Sunday. So the home game is obviously more enjoyable because then you're in your own home and you've got lots of rest too. But the MASL is a very good league, and it's getting better. Each year is getting better. I think this year is a massive token to the league that we've got three, four MLS veteran players. Obviously, we have one ourselves in Michelle. Mm-hmm. Landon Donovan's now here. Jermaine Jones is now here. And I believe there's another guy. I'm not really too familiar with his name. I think it's the same as one of our players too. So the league is getting better. Hopefully next season there's some more teams coming into league, which means more games, which means more chances to play. So I'm super excited about finishing up the rest of the season and then seeing what happens next year.
Sure. And the season's only like 5 months, right?
Yes, sir.
So what do you do the rest of the year?
So once the season's done with the Sidekicks, if the coach allows me to, I'll have a couple of weeks off before I get into the Vaqueros, and then that will go on for about 2-3 months. And then once Vaquero starts, there'll be about another month before we start preseason again. So the season is only 5 months, but we're in about 2 months before that.
Okay.
Starting our preseason, starting to get back with the team. If it's once a week, just little sessions, like little pickup sessions pretty much, seeing the boys again. And then, yeah, we dive straight back into it. So there's no real time off at times. But
no rest for the weary.
No rest. No, definitely not. Which is good. I mean, I love the game so much that I can do it, and I want to keep doing it year round. And the time when my body turns around and says no, then I'm sure I'm going to do something coaching wise to keep staying in football. So
stay involved.
Yeah. Yes, definitely.
I know that a lot of the players have, quote unquote, day jobs as well. What do you do for your day job?
So I actually work at a place called The Pit in Frisco. It's called the Pit Soccer Academy. Three of the boys on the team also work there as well. It's me, Ricardinho, Carlos Videla, and Christian Quintana. We all work together over there. And then I also coach for FC Dallas. I have two teams over there at FC Dallas. So
what age groups?
2008. I have boys and girls.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
So those are like 10-year-olds?
11, I believe, this year. Yes, sir.
So you said you've been doing this for 6 years for the Sidekicks. What's been the hardest part of being a professional MASL player?
I don't consider any of it really to be hard, to be honest. Like I said, it is what I love to do. And as long as I can keep doing it, then I won't never fall out in love with the game. The travel can be difficult at times, you know, waking up early in the mornings, getting there, getting your butt out of the airport. And, you know, there's nothing really hard. If you love it, then you keep doing it.
I guess that's like any job, right?
Any job, yeah.
There are
definitely
things
any
that
job.
Are annoying.
Yeah, there's some annoying people that you have to deal with day in, day out. But no, I love it.
Like those pesky podcasters.
No, definitely not. Backroom staff.
Just to pull back the curtain here, yeah. We've got Alex Sinatra in the room with us. So.
Hey.
And he was looking at her when he said that. All right, let's leave the meta here and come back into the.
Yeah.
What would you say some of your favorite moments have been?
Some of my favorite moments. I mean, obviously, on a personal level, there's always scoring goals is one of my favorite things to obviously do. We've done some things in the past that team wise. This season, one of my most favorite memories was beating Monterrey. The organization hasn't done that in 15 years. And we had them at home. We had them a couple of times close down there. In the end, they pull away. But the biggest, most fondest memory for me this season so far was definitely beating Monterrey. We had a great crowd. I even believe it was Valentine's Day too that we beat them, right? And you know, it's just there's some highlights that we've had as a team this season that have been great, and there's some highlights myself personally that have been great too. I think I managed to get one hat trick so far this year, and that was El Paso. And then again, going back to personal note, my two PKs in the last game against Monterrey, those were big goals for us to keep us in the game. Unfortunately, we didn't manage to see it all the way through in overtime, but that happens, and those are the ones that will always stick with me. But definitely, I'd say the team against Monterrey, that was the biggest one for me.
Gotcha. Let's talk about the team a little bit, the current team. Let's just, I don't know, let's go down kind of a list of a couple of things I want to know about. Like, who's the funniest guy on the team?
Funniest guy on the team. If I was allowed to say, I'd put myself up there first. We have a couple of
guys. Are you the jokester?
Yeah, I try to be at times. Yeah, we have a couple of guys that are just funny guys. And one of them is one of our rookies, Segura. He says some things that are just beyond like silly. Like, I just don't even know where this guy, like, he asked us a question the other day and he said that we had the wrong answer, but he actually asked the wrong question. And it was just like, he was adamant that he asked the right question. A very strange kid, but he's a rookie, so we'll give him a bit of leeway. The next funniest, Mike Jones, is up there. Mike Jones has got some jokes. He's got some pranks too. I'd say me or Mike.
Okay.
And Segura too.
Okay. Well, he's young.
He's young. He'll learn. He's only got time to learn. Yeah, for sure.
Who's got the nerdiest day job?
I think it'll have to be Gamboa because he's a teacher.
Okay.
Yeah, Gamboa, TJ Nelson's also a teacher. Some of the boys sit there and say they got day jobs, but they don't.
Okay.
I'll go TJ or Gamboa.
Is it like a math teacher?
I think Gamboa is a physics teacher.
Oh, okay, there you go. That's definitely
I'm not sure what TJ does. I think he just sits at the back of the room and lets these students just be in the class.
Hey, here's a workbook.
Yeah, there you go, yeah.
Cool. All right, well, let's wrap this up talking about kind of like the season that you got going and what's next. So is, like you said earlier, it's been a disappointing couple of last results.
Mm-hmm.
What's missing? Like what needs to change?
It's easier to sit here and say that we've been unlucky. I think there's games that we hit the boards and the ball doesn't bounce in the correct spot for us, but we always feel like it's against us. I think our biggest thing that we need to do definitely ahead of next season is this is another year of experience for some of our guys.
Mm-hmm.
I think if you minus myself, Carlos, RJ, Ricky, Gamboa, Mike, Cody, a few of the boys, Nesta Hernandez too, there's still only a couple of guys that have played two or three seasons in the league, and some even only one. So I think this is a big year for us to come back after the organization wasn't here last season. And I only really truly believe that we can only get better next season. And I think that the main core of guys are going to stick together ahead of next season. As soon as we show up for preseason, I don't think there'll be any new faces really. It's just time for us to get back to work again. And we say the season's been disappointing just because we had a goal at the start of the season and we didn't make it, but we've had some fantastic games and we've been in some tremendous, tremendous battles against some of these teams that are the biggest teams in the league. I spoke about Monterrey earlier. They have a chance of winning the championship. San Diego, obviously, we didn't get the best result this weekend, but there was times in the game where we competed with them. And those two teams are championship teams. They're going to be there right at the end. And it's some of the games that we haven't done well in. And at that period of time, it was just experience for us. And we got some great, great younger players on the team. Gustavo, Fernando Garza. I say young players, Fernando's the same age as me, but no, some guys that haven't been in the league too long, that are right there, and we believe in them, and we believe in the coaching staff, and the coaching staff believes in us, so it can only get better for us next season.
Gotcha. Just going back to what you said about being unlucky, I saw maybe it was you that had a shot that went off in his, I guess, Rio Grande, I think, that it went off both posts and then out.
Yeah. Yeah. We've had some unlucky bounces this season. And there's been times where we've come into the locker room and been like, how did that not go in? Or how did they score that? So again, just indoor games. And like I say, the teams that we played against, they've got experienced guys that know indoor better than us. And I think that once we start to understand it a little bit better, it can only be better for us.
I guess in the analytics nerd world, we'd say your XG differential is negative.
Sure. if that's what that means, I don't know. But yeah, no.
I think I'm still learning. So
yeah, there you go.
cool. Well, thank you so much for your time. I hope this is, people are able to, just know more about you. And
absolutely.
I think we've got... You've got San Diego on the weekend with Landon Donovan coming in.
Yes, sir. San Diego on Sunday. I think the kickoff is at 3:00 at the Allen Event Center. It's a massive game for us again. Obviously, we've not had the best of seasons, but these last four games we're treating like finals. And we're going to go in there and give it our best. So if fans want to come out and watch a great game of indoor soccer and obviously get to see Landon Donovan himself, then definitely come out on Sunday.
And get to see Jamie Lovegrove.
Oh, yes. Don't forget about that guy either.
He's the guy with the bleached blonde hair.
Yeah, he's very noticeable. Yeah, you can't miss him.
All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
The Dallas Soccer Show, your source of FC Dallas banter and U.S. Men's National Team news and coverage.
Thanks again to Jamie Lovegrove for helping us learn more about both him and the Sidekicks team. That interview was a ton of fun. And even though I lost my voice, I couldn't talk. And I still can't. All right, giveaway time. On Saturday at the FC Dallas match, at the beginning of the match, I'll tweet out a location in the stadium and a selfie of what I look like. Come find us at halftime, and you can have your choice of free tickets to the Sidekicks game on Sunday or some autographed player graphics that I've made. I only have a few of each, so don't miss out. You won't miss out if you follow us on Twitter at Dallas Soccer Show. And you can also find us on YouTube by searching Dallas Soccer Show at our website, dallassoccershow.com, and here in your podcatcher. All right, have a good one.